juxtapose, to compare and contrast two concepts while on the roam in Jacksonville, Florida.
You're caught in a mix. Welcome to Juxtapose, presented by Mix Theory Studios.
This show is called Juxtapose. We're here to ask you, are you a native?
First coast of the new world where distant travelers first roam, to the bold city of the south where only locals considered it home. As we enter the new shift, new people travel at will to migrate to a place they call home, Jacksonville.
This show is called Jacksonville.
Hello, I'm Josh.
And I'm Keisha.
And we'll be
your host to the city. Mixed Theory Studios supports the city's bicentennial events happening on June 11, 2022. If you are an artist or just interested in learning more, stay tuned at the end of this episode for an important and related announcement. Education is the passport to the future, for tomorrow belongs to those who prepare for it today. We begin our day with a quote from Malcolm X as we explore the landscape of education in the largest city by landmass, Jacksonville, Florida.
COVID-19 has affected every aspect of our society, especially the education system. Our guest today, Cindy Caldwell, co-founder and director of communications and business development for Ramplify, a marketing strategy company that specializes in government relations, branding, and digital advertising campaigns. Cindy also works with a nonprofit organization that works hand-in-hand with Duval School Board, where she faces new challenges and obstacles that our school systems deal with today.
The tricky part is we've never been in a pandemic, so when school systems are asking us, what's the research? What do we need to do? How can we advance students' learning because they've been out of school? There is no research. We've never been through anything like this. The closest thing we have is hurricane impact on education systems and student learning, and of course, mental health is just a whole other crisis that we have to consider, and we will see implications as a result of that for many years. We have had a critical teacher shortage. You can imagine the pandemic has just exacerbated that. So we have folks that are no longer pursuing teacher preparation programs for college. We have vacancies across the state of Florida. Furthermore, we have teachers that are leaving in just rapid rates because of the pandemic, because of the issues they're having to confront. Teachers are being challenged on things that we were never prepped for this in our education programs. And the new thing we're seeing is we are now having principal shortages. We have bus driver shortages, food service. So the folks that get the food ready, the meals prepared for our students in K-12, you name it, there is a shortage across all of the different services in schools, districts. We have board members that are having to substitute classes. There's no substitutes. You know, we keep throwing money at it. We try to raise salaries, which is definitely helpful, but there's just a whole other host of challenges and barriers and reasons why folks don't pursue education. And certainly the political climate is not making it any more attractive to want to go into this profession. As much as you want to serve the students and serve that school community, the challenges sometimes are just overwhelming if you were not prepared for that. So yeah, it's just things we never thought about, things we could have never imagined thinking about. Along with every other industry, we are finding all sorts of new challenges. So we really have to think innovatively, we have to be transformative, and everybody's got opinions on that. So all of a sudden, folks that have never been in education are now education experts.
The River City hosts a collective of roughly 196 schools, comprised of 102 elementary schools, 24 middle schools, and 19 high schools, and an array of private, charter, and specialty programs.
I think you're going to see a lot more school choice options, and that's not necessarily charter or magnet programs, but you already have hybrid programs where there are students who can attend school online. I've seen instances, not here necessarily, but where kids and parents want the option of where their kids can get their core classes online virtually, but still be able to go to a brick and mortar for the extracurriculars like sports or clubs or even just elective classes that are really interesting. I mean, I know there was the trend of when COVID hit, these little pod schools. And so the families that could afford to hire a teacher and gather their neighbors and come together and have like maybe a small pod of students with a teacher, I think you're going to see more of that as well. And school vouchers are another option for private schools. There is a lot of data, and even with what they call a rapid synthesis from COVID-19, there was a good I would say, chunk of students that benefited from the online learning. Their mental health improved. Students that tended to have attention deficit issues could be more focused. So it did work very well. And there was some research that came out to show that it does work for some, not all. But see, this is what we have to think about with the way students learn, how well that they learn with these different types of models. And again, I'm even seeing not only states, I'm seeing countries where they're adopting augmented reality. There is a virtual reality high school. So students can put on their Oculus Rifts and have an avatar, and they go and walk through a virtual building and sit in a class and they watch their professor on stage. And that just blows my mind. But there might be students that benefit from that type of learning. As much as there's a lot of challenges, there is a crisis going on, this is where you have the opportunity to be innovative. But I think we have to be careful and to remember to always keep students at the center of whatever it is that we do, particularly our students of color. Obviously, our system was not built for those students. And so it's a time to be transformative and think through how to do better, to be better, for our students that have been marginalized historically, but also our students that are struggling with their own mental health and the trauma from pandemic, and of course, from whatever other issues that might be a part of their current environment and situation.
As a college student, I have plenty of friends who prefer online learning rather than in-person classes, primarily because of the self-paced learning atmosphere. The majority of those who benefit from online learning often have full-time jobs or other hobbies and passions in which they pursue. There are plenty of students who are freelancers or work part or full-time in a field relative to their major. If they have a flexible school schedule that allows them to free up their time based on their clients' needs, they're able to get more real-world experience. Without distance learning, many students would not be able to get this real-world experience, which is arguably just as important as their education. Personally, I don't benefit as much from online learning as many of my friends. I'm someone that requires more structure in their learning environment. But I think as long as students are given the resources they need to succeed and have the discipline to do so, they will be successful.
Stop blaming the kids. Like, stop saying we gotta fix the kids. Guys, it's the adults we gotta fix. We gotta move away from this deficit-based approach with our students, learning loss. How do you lose something you didn't learn? Achievement gap. Let's be clear, it's not that. It's an opportunity gap. You've denied opportunities to certain communities of students and families, but now you're going to blame them for it. So let's move away from blaming the students and the families. Let's start looking at the adults that are in front of the children, the adults that are running the districts, the adults that are running the states, and more importantly, the adults that are like making these decisions around the federal funding, the curriculum for our kids, especially like our students and schools of color.
I really appreciate Cindy coming to speak with us. I feel like she offers a very unique perspective.
I agree. I really enjoyed Cindy's interview. She's really hands-on, and she gave us a deeper perspective on what a school teacher goes through, what a student goes through, what the bus driver goes through, how stressful it can be to be an educator right now in these times. So yeah, Josh, you hit right on that. Next week, we speak with two guests, Charlie Guillaume and Connor Pumphrey. They share their stories of how the education system has affected them and the pursuit of combining passions, ideas, and skills into viable careers.
Jacksonville, Florida was founded in 1822, and it's time to celebrate the city's bicentennial birthday. 200 years of business, art, education, and industry are coming to the forefront, celebrating history and pushing forward. The Jacksonville Historical Society and community are banding together to host programs, events, promoting local talent and businesses just for this occasion. If you're an artist who would like to get involved in some of the art events happening on June 11th, reach out to Ron Episcopo at 954-857-4831 or the Art Center Cooperative at tacjacksonville.org.
What's your story? Is Jacksonville your home? Or have you been drawn to Duval for the possibilities unknown? As a native art transplant, what does River City mean to you? Maybe you'll catch us next time to share your local view.
We also want to thank our production team, Dante Belton,
Vince Locke,
Lakeisha Willis, and Josh Cuellar.
And our creative director, Shannon Vivar, our in-house producers, Punch Boy, and DJ PM with DJ Cap on the mic.
Check out mtsjax.fm for transcripts and sources of statistics mentioned in this episode. If you like what you've been listening to, consider donating to buymeacoffee.com/jacksupposedteam.